Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefishore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. It's so exciting to have you here, Susan. I mean, you and I have not really talked but once, so I've heard, you know, really good things about you, but I never really got to meet you. So it'd be fun to just let you tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now and then come back and tell us how you got there.
Okay. you know, I'm with The Haven, which is part of the Bella Vita Network. Savannah Martin is the executive director of Bella Vita, so I'm very thankful to work under her leadership. She has been wonderful to work for. And, you
she
know,
has actually. I'm going to just jump in just real quick because she's been helping me for like 2 years and she's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm not as familiar. So tell us what the Bella Vita is.
So Bella Vita, we actually just changed the name to Bella Vita Network just a couple of years ago. Before that, we were the Pregnancy Center of Toledo. And because we have three programs through Bella Vita, we decided to change the name because when we said, you know, we work for the Pregnancy Center, it didn't really quite encompass The Haven or Soul Purpose. And so Bella Vita, which means beautiful life. So we really wanted to focus on the three programs that we have. So one of them is Soul Purpose, which is the on-campus ministry, helping young girls know their identity, worth in Christ. We have a chapter at University of Toledo, Bowling Green University, and it has also gone national. So there are now, I believe, 9 campuses with the Soul Purpose curriculum throughout
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And then we have the Pregnancy Center, which we're all very familiar with, free ultrasounds, parenting classes, financial literacy, a beautiful baby boutique so that parents can get diapers, formula, all the baby necessities. And then we have The Haven, which is after abortion care. So Beautiful Life covers all three ministries of Bella Vita.
So your center has really embraced the abortion recovery aspect of the work.
Yes, so much that we even have our own facility here at The Haven. Jill calls us a unicorn because of this. So we are actually located right next door to the only abortion clinic in Toledo. And so we have this beautiful facility. We have a full kitchen, a living room. I have my office space, which is right behind me. And then we have a prayer room in the back. And so it's just a really beautiful space. The owner of this building reached out to Savannah, I want to say back in 2016, and basically asked her, hey, I own the building next to the abortion clinic. Do you want it? Wow. And so she brought a couple of the board members. They prayed and felt that this was the right spot for The Haven.
Yeah. That's so cool. So is it a house or is it like a business office or?
Yeah, so it looks like it could be an apartment, but there's not a full bathroom. So it's just a half bath. And so it's more of like a business. There's a tenant upstairs on the second floor, but he's never here. He's always at work during the day while I'm here. So yeah, it works out great.
Out of curiosity, how many people do you see come back to you after they go to Planned Parenthood?
So it's actually not Planned Parenthood next door. It's like the Toledo Women's Center Health Center.
Okay.
So the interesting thing is when I first took the position here at The Haven, which is 2.5 years ago, we weren't really seeing anybody straight from the clinic. So it wasn't until maybe last year that more women started coming through shortly after their abortion. And gosh, I want to say maybe about 8 women have come forward
Awesome. That's
in
wonderful.
abortions. It's been, I'll be honest, it's been hard.
I
It's a
bet.
huge learning curve. We're so used to seeing women that are coming forward from the church that have been hiding their secret for so many years. And we knew how to do ministry with women like that because, I mean, I was one of them. I hid my story for 20 years. I confessed to my husband before we got married about my past. But outside of that, I didn't tell anybody. I was too ashamed, and I thought I was going to take my secret with me to the grave. And then the Haven came up, and I was like, "Oh, nobody want to talk about this."
Were you there when Tony was there, or did you come in completely after her or as her replacement?
I came as a replacement, so I actually had my healing at the Haven when Michelle McCauley was here.
All right.
Yeah, so Michelle is such a dear person to me. Just the moment I walked through the doors of the Haven, she just welcomed me and I felt safe. And that's one of the things I didn't want to change about the Haven. The
So you're
way.
doing in-person groups there at your office, okay?
So we do in-person support group once a month. We do grief and loss coaching, and then we also do weekend retreats and specialized Bible studies like Unbound.
Okay. And what study are you using for abortion recovery?
Forgiven and set free.
You are. Okay. Are you using anything else other than that? You said grief and support, or what are you using?
Grief and loss coaching. So right now we're
Okay.
actually working on a better curriculum. So I'm actually working with a local therapist who also had her own abortion recovery through the Haven. And so we're working together on understanding the traumatic effect of abortion, understanding the grief. And one of my favorite things that she's taught me through this whole process is we don't really need to talk about the trauma of their abortion. We really want to bring out the emotions that they're feeling in regards to their abortion. So instead of, like what happened during your abortion, it's how did that make you feel? And so that's really what we're hoping to bring out a little bit more with grief and loss coaching, because we realized that for a support group, we always do a different topic every month. So whether it's anger, depression, how my abortion changed me, triggers, whatever it might be, all of it ties back to grief, right? So we feel like grief is really the foundation of all these other emotions that we experience in our abortions. And so with the grief and loss coaching, that's what we want to do is unravel those deep-rooted feelings associated with grief and our.
So is the coaching one-on-one then?
It's always one-on-one.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is put together what the format is going to look like. And then also the second part would be how to train others to do the same. And then launching it. And so I do meet with people one-on-one, but I realize, especially with women with recent abortions, my gosh, I'm at a loss.
I think we all are.
It's, one of the things that I've learned about all of this is, when I had my abortion back in 99, I was with a doctor and I was with nurses. And women with recent abortions,
Chemical abortions.
They're doing it in the safety of their house and they're isolated. And
They have no one to ask questions to.
yeah, they
No one
don't
to
know
run to, no one, nothing.
nothing. And so, even though my abortion experience was traumatic in a weird way, and hopefully this doesn't sound weird, but I felt safe during my abortion because I was with a doctor, because I was in a team of nurses. Women, they're now going home and they don't have any of that. So we're talking about the trauma of not just their abortion, but what they see alone, the fear that something's wrong with their bodies. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So they go through the one-on-one coaching and then they do the monthly support.
Yes. So I don't always invite them to support group right away. I want to make them ready to talk about it. They're ready to be with other women. One of the things that I'm learning as well is that women with a chemical abortion, they don't really want to talk about their abortion. They want to talk about their circumstances. They want to talk about why they made the decision and they want to justify that. And they want, it's almost like they're looking for my approval. That they made that decision. So.
It's not really about the abortion being bad. It's about why they feel bad, and that's bad.
Yes, exactly.
I had the same thing this spring. Linda did too in our groups. You know, just women come through, they stay in denial through the whole thing. So I just have to rest. I mean, really, in that, okay, we give them truth. God will do the rest, you know. And at some point, when they get past wherever they're at, you know, and if they're growing in the Lord, especially, you know, God will open their eyes to, and, you know, usually He's very gentle with that, you know, nudging and prodding and getting us to that point where, okay, it's time to really acknowledge the sin now. Whereas, you know, I guess in our day, we acknowledge the sin, but didn't ever acknowledge the feelings. And now it's like we're not, they don't want to, they don't even recognize that it's sin. So they want to talk about the feelings. You know, we stuff the feelings and acknowledge the sin when we got saved, but, you know, it's kind of the backwards way, backwards different, I should say, different way. Maybe it's a better way. I don't know. Can you tell me real quick? Because I kind of, something about what you said about your services didn't click. So tell me again, you got the grief and loss coaching, and then what else was the services?
So the monthly support group, and then the weekend retreats,
The
and
weekend
then
retreats.
also specialized Bible studies like Unbound.
So where does the weekly Forgiven and Set Free fit in that?
So we have primarily done weekend retreats with Forgiven and Set Free.
Okay, I see.
The week, yeah. So it's intense.
I can't imagine.
It
I'm
is.
used to a 9 week program doing it one
Yeah.
weekend. Oh man.
We get together Thursday evening and go until Sunday afternoon. So a lot of times women will have to take Friday off if they work full time. But it's been beautiful. So Thursday evening we do chapters 1 and 2, and then Friday we go into like chapters 3 and 4 and 5, and then 6, 7, 8, and then chapter 9 on Sunday with the special celebration of life.
Yeah, that's good. Well, talk to us a little bit about, well, okay, so you're the executive director. I don't think that was really said, but most people, maybe most people will know you. I don't know, maybe they won't, but you're the executive director there, and you've been doing this for 2.5 years, correct?
So I do not claim to be an expert in any
No.
way. I am an expert learner, and I love
It's a good thing to say.
things that God has taught me in this position. Some things I wish he would have taught me sooner
Yeah.
when while things are happening. But yeah, I think when I first got to the Haven, you know, and I got really wonderful training from Tony. I don't know that there's a better person to learn from than Tony.
She's great.
Is amazing at what she does. Her heart is so big for abortion recovery and the women that we serve here. But as the Haven was growing and women from the abortion clinic were starting to come to the Haven, I realized that support group had to change. Before it was people would come to support group and we would just talk, you know, how are you doing, you know, and just see where that organically went. But as women were coming with chemical abortion within weeks to women with abortions from 30, 40 years ago that are from the church, it got a little chaotic, I'll be honest with you. There was really no structure because the conversations were so all over the place. I had women that have never stepped into the church before that were just curious, what does abortion recovery look like? For, they knew that they were struggling, but they didn't understand why they were struggling. And so having them come to support group with somebody else that was ready to surrender to the Lord, I mean, it was just such a very different dynamic. And so it was hard leading at that table. And so spending time with the Lord and like, okay, God, what is this table supposed to look like? Because I want all women to come to the table for abortion healing, whether they know you or not. I want this to be a safe place for them. And so, in conversations with some of the volunteers and Savannah Martin, like we're like, what if we did topic-based support group? And so then we went through all the different topics of abortion recovery. Triggers is a huge one. A lot of women would come like, I don't know why I'm so triggered. I had a woman who refused to even turn on the air conditioning unit in her apartment because of the sound that it made. It reminded her of abortion.
Wow, I
So
hadn't
she'd
heard
rather sit in a hot apartment
of
than turn on the AC. So all these different triggers, right?
that.
Sounds, songs, I mean, you name it, dates. So triggers is one of them, depression, anger, how did my abortion change me? The reality of, feeling relief after an abortion and then that turning into regret. I mean, a lot of this we read in Forgiven and Set Free and a lot of other after abortion care curriculum. So we target those specific things. We sit around the table, and I found that when we have topics, not only does it create a little bit more of a less chaotic atmosphere, but it really helped the women feel like they're part of a community because now we are finding something that we all have in common.
Yeah, that would make sense, especially when you have women that are, been struggling with this for years and just coming into it. I could see how that would help them to have some commonality at the table and just get
Yeah, I
comfortable
think.
with one another and learn from one another that way.
Yeah. I think most of us are used to more of a group setting. So I'm very curious about the one-on-one. What advantages do you see in your coaching doing it one-on-one over a group setting?
Yeah, so I mean, every woman that comes to the Haven, we always start one-on-one. That
Okay.
way I get to know them, they get to know me. If they were to just come to support group, they might feel a little unsettled. Like, what am I getting myself into? And one, the purpose really to help them get comfortable talking about their abortion. Funny that I talked to about it, so if I am meeting with somebody, we have her intake, and I'll ask very specific questions. The intake will, and I, we put this together with Jill and Cheryl Dudek. She was one of the presenters at CareNet a couple years ago, and I really, really admire her. She's a licensed therapist, and so she had shared her intake, and then we had turned that into making it work for the Haven. And so one of the things that we do is their basic information. And then how their abortion affected them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that helps us understand just where they're at currently. And so for physically, if your abortion was 30 years ago, they'll say like, oh, I'm fine. But sometimes women will say, well, I'm still not sleeping well at night, or things like that. Emotionally, I still feel a lot of guilt and shame. I don't want to talk about it. I'm still triggered. And then the spiritual side is helping us understand where are you at with your walk with the Lord, right? And so if women are coming and, they're very honest, they'll say, well, I believe in God, but I haven't been to church in a long time. Then it's like, well, who is God to you? And I had one woman share with me that she used to go to church, but she likes Buddhism and she likes Hinduism and she likes all the positive things about all these different religions. And so that helps me understand where she's at. And that also gives me the opportunity to share with them, like, we are a faith-based organization and everything we do here is from a biblical standpoint. Are you comfortable with that? Are you okay with that? You're going to hear Bible verses. We do pray, and so that helps them understand who we are, because we're not going to change that. We're a ministry. Okay. And so the going back to your question, sorry. those one-on-one times is really the opportunity to get to know each other. So,
That's
and then,
good. And
yeah.
so how long do you see them in that kind of thing before you give them, like, kind of open up the support group to them?
I'd probably say like no more than 3 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because then I'll say, the next support group will be, they're always the first Thursday of every month. And this is the topic. I think this will be a really good one for you to come to. Sometimes they only want to meet with me once or twice, and then I never see them again. And then other times they come to support group, and then we just have such a great community. I always provide a meal. I love food. I really do. And so I always provide like pizza, or I'll make soup or sandwiches or sliders or whatever it is. And we break bread together, and then we sit down around the table and we start our discussion. We always go over the support group guidelines first
Every month.
every month,
Okay.
just in case there's somebody new. And sometimes we have people that need to be reminded, right? No rescuing, no talking over somebody else, things like that. Be respectful. Stay on the topic of abortion, because I mean, you guys probably know it's very easy to go off on different topics. So guidelines, pray, and then I'll ask very specific questions about that topic. And then sometimes we end in activities.
Oh, really?
So I one of these months, oh, I moved it. Where did I put it? Sorry. So one of the activities that we like to do are these like little Bible verse blocks.
Okay.
So
Where'd you get that?
I get the blocks from Amazon. They're just little
Okay.
wooden blocks, and then I get scrap paper and Mod Podge. And then I'll
You
ask the
make it.
woman, like, what are some of your favorite Bible verses? And then you just
So they're making it there. Okay, that's
Yeah,
neat. I like
things like
that.
that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Oh, one of the things that we have done are masks. So I was talking to Jill Marquise, and we had come up with the masks we wear. And it's really interesting. So, like, what we show others, but how we're actually feeling on the inside. So that's actually something we're going to talk about at the CareNet conference.
Okay. Well, then we won't go into that in detail here. Maybe you can come back and then we can share it with those that don't make it, but we don't want to ruin it for those that are paying to go and have signed up for you. We don't want them to go, well, you know what? Now I've heard it. Click. We're not going to that one. We're going to something else. I don't want that. So on your, just out of curiosity, you talked about how you have the weekend retreats, and do you, how do you, when do you introduce them to the weekend retreat or invite them?
So usually at the intake, I let them know about all the programs that we have. And based on our conversation, I will say to them, I think you'll be good if you and I just met a few times before we do the support group. And then after attending the support group, someone might say they're interested in the retreat. However, there are women that come forward from the church that are ready to attend a retreat. So I really gauge that based on the intake. I've had, I mean, last year, 8 women went through a retreat. All beautiful stories. The year before, I don't remember how many women, but we usually have 2 to 3 women per retreat attend.
It's a good small size, yeah.
So there's three, so two facilitators and then one hospitality person. And then I have a volunteer that stays behind, and she's the prayer leader. And so we'll send her prayer requests, and then she'll send it to the prayer team. And then they spend time during the weekend praying for different things for our participants or volunteers sometimes too.
That's good. So, do you require them to go through the support group before the retreat so they can just kind of go where they want or where you feel like they should be?
I mean, schedule wise, it varies too, right? I have some women that can't make it to support group. But, I really want to make sure that when women go through a weekend retreat, they do have a biblical understanding of the Bible because, Forgiven and Set Free is a Bible study. And, I've had women that aren't as familiar, and so they're very overwhelmed with.
Especially in a weekend, yeah, to try to cover all that.
Yeah,
Um,
that is a lot.
I'm curious, going back to the support groups too. I know a lot of us are looking at trying to do support groups maybe after women have gone through groups to have some sort of ongoing monthly thing where people can keep in contact or pop in or out as they hit different stages of life. Do you find the women consistent coming back every month? Do you have a core group that do? Or is it a lot of new ones every time?
It's both. I've had women that have come back. I have a couple that are pretty consistent about coming every month, that have not been through the retreat yet. And women that have gone through the retreat, it's hit or miss, I'll be honest with you.
Our experience is kind of after they've got a certain level of healing, they don't really have that pressing need, to reconnect.
So they want to still get together, but not necessarily at a support group. Like,
So
hey, want to
friendships
get
are
lunch?
formed.
That's good. That's great. That's well, and I'm kind of like that. I don't, once I go through, a group or retreat or whatever, unless I made a really good friendship with you, I don't really care to get back into that group and just keep rehashing things. I just want to move on until, and if something comes up later, then I'll deal with it then. But I don't want to keep living it out unless I need to talk about it. So I can get that. So you were talking earlier about your support group for women who don't know the Bible or are not believers. Is that?
So it kind of goes back to, what I was talking about with women that have had the chemical abortion. Some of them might not even know the Lord at all. And then having them sit at the same table with somebody that is very well versed in the Bible. Example, there was one meeting that did feel intense. It got to the point where I had one woman that came from a recent abortion, chemical abortion, and the conversation made her so uncomfortable that she was reaching under her chair for her purse to leave. And what made her so uncomfortable was conversation that was happening between a volunteer and another participant about spiritual warfare. The enemy, right? Like, this is what Satan wants. And she has zero knowledge of any of that.
Might freak some people out.
It freaked her out really bad. And she had texted me and basically told me that she wasn't coming back. And I told her, I was like, I'm so sorry, would you like to just meet with me one-on-one for a while? And she never texted me back. I think she was so distraught by it. And so that's why we put together like, okay, let's do topics. And so that really keep us in focus with who's at the table. It doesn't matter if you've never stepped into a church or if you've been to church many times. Anger is something we all can relate to. Sadness is something we can all linked to anxiety, depression, whatever it might be,
I
triggers.
think that example is such a good reminder, though, because we get so in our little worldview and our terminology that sometimes it is hard to step back and look at this through the eyes of somebody that just doesn't have any background
So
or
true.
a reference. So that is a wonderful reminder to try to look through their eyes. Yeah.
And it goes both ways because, I had a participant, she loved the F word. And I had a volunteer that kept looking at me like, are you going to keep letting her use that word? Are you going to stop her? And so that was another reminder to me, to set the boundaries at the table so that everybody feels safe. Right. So I did have to say, okay, let's just remember, try to keep, those cussing words or whatever, try to not use them at this table, let's be respectful. But yeah, I'm not offended by it, and she was just being honest and that transparent, which I love. I love when people are transparent. But also if it's making somebody else feel uncomfortable, I should probably say something. So it really goes both ways.
Yeah. But it sounds like you have a really good program, and I like the idea of the grief coaching ahead of time, just spending some time with them one-on-one past the intake. So we all talk about how we want to make our intake, just very relational, very personal. And even if like for us, we use a question form, but we do it all over the phone. So they don't know we're actually reading questions off of an intake so much as, it just sounds like we're interested in them. And that's what the questions are for, is to learn more about them specific to their abortions, but to offer that beyond that, just to continue to get to know them and help them work through some things before they get into a group where they're potentially going to bring in things that might harm the group, So what I see, I guess, is that you're protecting the integrity of the women in the group, and also protecting her, from potential whatever, and getting her prepared for the group. So I think that's a really good way to do it. And I don't know that I've heard of anybody else really doing it that way yet. I mean, we talk about going through Forgiven and Set Free and really slowing it down, but not in preparation for a support group. So yeah, I like that. I'm intrigued by that. And I just appreciate what you guys are doing in your support groups and just kind of structuring it a little bit. I think we all need a little bit of structure to kind of know, let us know where, especially some of us who are talkers, let us know exactly where, the conversation needs to end and start, in terms of the content of it and everything else. And I think it gives them confidence in you as a support group leader, whoever's leading it, that somebody is in charge, and we're not just going to be subject to the whim of somebody else's, whatever that they want to say or do. And so I really like that. Susan, you told us that you hadn't been leading this ministry for very long. And so I just want to ask you, what is your favorite thing about being the executive director of Abortion Recovery Ministry in The Haven?
Oh gosh, I love when women, there's always a moment at a retreat where women go from that shame and guilt to freedom. And I love seeing that moment happen for them. It just, I'm like, okay, this is why we do what we do. Right? This is the purpose that God has for this ministry, right? And I think about the woman at the well. Like, my favorite part is not that Jesus met her where she is, but it's the fact that she went back to the village and told everybody about him.
Amen.
And that the people didn't just ask her questions, they had to go find for themselves. They look for Jesus themselves. That's my favorite part. Right. So as women are healing from their abortion wounds, that they can now share with others, not that they had an abortion, but look what God has done in my life. Look what how Jesus has healed me, right? And
Jesus
then
changed her.
others will now come and see. right? Whether
Yeah.
it's abortion or addiction or whatever it might be, that your story is no longer about your abortion. Your story
She'd left the
is
shame behind.
about it.
Yes,
Yeah, so that's
yes.
my favorite part. That's my heart behind the Haven, is sharing with others what God does, continues to do, what he has done in my life, in the life of my volunteers. And then just seeing God do it in others. Like I just love it.
You talked about you went through your healing with Michelle, and then Tony took over. Did you have connection with the Haven during that time? So what made you decide to apply for this job?
So it's really funny. Well, maybe not funny. So my husband was kind of, he's always had the same position, but there was some stuff that happened within his ministry, I guess. And so I was trying to do photography full time. I did work in a different ministry for a few years. It was working with the homeless community in Toledo. And I left that, tried to do photography. And then my husband was like, "Hey, you might want to maybe look for another job."
Okay, thank
I was
you.
like, all right. And I remembered seeing that the pregnancy center was hiring for a position. And so I knew Savannah Martin. And so I texted her and I said, "Hey, are you still looking for someone to fill that role?" And she said, and this was on a Saturday morning. And she said, "No, I just filled that position this week,
Oh.
but I am looking for director of the Haven." And literally, when she sent that text, my heart started pounding. It was
Oh.
like thump, 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 thump. And I was like, oh. And I showed my husband the text, and he gave me like this, like, kind of like look on his face. And I was like, "What do you think?" He was like, "Yeah, like talk to her about it." So I met with, or I had a phone conversation with Savannah that Monday. So Saturday was a text, Monday was a phone call. Thursday, I came to the Haven to just talk to Savannah and Tony. And then that afternoon, Savannah had offered me the position. And I said, "Don't I need a job interview?" She was like, "That was your job interview." I was like, "Oh,
That's easy.
okay."
Nice.
And so, yeah. And one of the things I really had to pray about was, do I want to be known as the abortion person?
Wow, that's a big one. Yeah.
And I had, my husband, he's in a Christian band, and I was like, "Are you okay with this? Because what if people assume that you're the dad of my abortion?" He was like, "Susan, why are you even worried about that?" He was like, "I feel like this is exactly what you're supposed to do." And and I really had to, like, I'll be honest, I struggle with it. And then I was reminded, my abortion's not my story. God's grace is my story. So I said,
I think that's a struggle for all of us, really, but I think if we stop and just really think about it, we're not the director or the volunteer or the worker in abortion recovery. I think we're the worker of restoration and, helping God, not helping God, helping people just really have that deep relationship with God that we so enjoy. And, maybe if we stop and look at it that way, our identity and our thoughts will change towards that, Yeah. Susan, thank you so much for spending time with us. It was really great to talk to you and get to know you a little bit and love what you're doing up there. Really do.
thank you. I'm excited to get to know both of you better too. I've seen you both at different, recovery events, and yeah, I got to
Well,
sit in on your breakout session with last year or the year before.
oh, yeah. Was that okay?
Oh my God, it
Say it
was
on air.
amazing. I was like,
Don't say it on air.
I need to get to know her.
Oh, awesome. Well, next time we're face to face, come up and give us a hug because
Absolutely.
we gotta put hugs around people. Everything I do is virtual, and so I don't get any, flesh time with people like I used to. So it's great. Anyway, you
Thank you
have a
so
great
much.
day. Thank you.
Thank you.